to another episode of Absolute Comics. My name is Benny, that is Sal, and we're the guys that get together every week to talk about what's going on in the world of comics. We got a few things to talk about today. Why is Batman a robot and evil, and why does nobody believe it?
Everybody believes it. It's so stupid.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
Insane.
We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Ben Reilly, because why not? I want to talk to Sal about his opinion on the current climate of comic book sales, because I've got 2023 data.
Oh, nice. There's also, they released some information just today. ICD2 just dropped some info as well.
What'd they drop? Because I have a whole video I might have to change.
Oh, no. Yeah, they dropped like this past month's sales data.
Okay, I don't, was it good? We're going to talk about that in a minute.
Here. Okay? Yeah. I got it in front of me.
Because we're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about the new X-Men titles that have been announced.
Ah, yes.
We'll skip over the Fallout series announcement because Fallout's coming out and neither of us are massive fans of Fallout.
That's fair.
Daredevil, Born Again stunt coordinator confirms that the first half of the series is done. That's the announcement. What do you think?
They're done. That means it's like they have a release date, I'm sure, almost ready to go.
No, but I'm saying that's all we have. So what do you think about it?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, you know, I'm excited. They released information, apparently, Vanessa is the original actor who played Vanessa in the Daredevil show, but she wasn't before they closed production halfway through filming their like 28 episode show and then brought back basically everything. They were like, okay, so the memo that we got was stop trying to make She-Hulk starring Daredevil and just make another season of the show people like.
Right.
And we were like, oh, I mean, like, can we just do that?
That's what we heard. Yeah, they just made
the Punisher's in it.
They were trying to make like a goofy sitcom again, from what I understand. Like, not She-Hulk level, but that's what we were looking at.
Oh my God.
Was kind of like, what?
It's the last thing. Like, just can you imagine like the whiplash of like, oh yeah, just watch Daredevil seasons 1 through 3 and then watch this.
So I'm glad that they're just making another Daredevil thing. Let's look at, what do you think about them adding three new other titles to the X-Men lineup? Nyx, X-Force,
NYX.
Normal. I'm calling it Nyx.
That's fair. Yeah, why not? We call it Hox and Pox, so I feel like Nyx is just as valid.
Phoenix, though. Finally a book focused on the Phoenix, I would hope.
Yeah, well, it's called, I think, Jean Grey Phoenix.
Well, no, it's just called Phoenix, what we've got here.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I saw like a thing that said like Jean Grey is Phoenix or something like that. So it's like, we know who it is.
Okay, good. But like, is this a series focused on that? That's a cool idea.
I'll take it. Not like this.
Not like this.
Whatever this is. You know, I saw this announcement the other day and I remember like looking at the information and I use heavy quotes on that because the information is, remember those titles we announced that had creative teams on them and then a bunch of other titles that didn't have creative teams on them? Well, here they are, but bigger. Like, just literally, here's the logos that we showed you already, but bigger.
Yeah.
And maybe a little bit more information. Like, for X-Force, for example, the world's broken. Forge knows how to fix it. His secret weapon is X-Force. Okay.
Yeah,
so
I saw that, and I was like, wait, X-Force just ended. What do you mean?
Well, it ended at 50. And, of course, with Marvel, they're like, 50? It might as well be 2,000 issues. Might as well reboot that crap. Let's go. So, I mean, yeah, X-Force, that makes sense. Plus, it was like one of the longest running titles after Hox and Pox. So, yeah. I mean, obviously,
it was X-Force, X-Men, Wolverine.
Yeah.
That was it. Those are the ones that like went long, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Even Immortal X-Men, I think, ended at 18 to move into the Rise and Fall.
New Mutants ended early as well. A bunch of books that like went into the 20s eventually usually got canceled. It was only like X-Men and X-Force and Wolverine that made it to 50.
Wolverine's still going.
Yeah. Well, Wolverine's going to stop at 50 and then reboot because Benjamin Percy's off the book after the end of Sabretooth War, which is going to end at issue 50. So
so it's just going to get to 50 and reboot again.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And now we know, by the way.
Deadpool reboot, which so far, so far is kind of fun. I know you're not a huge fan of Deadpool comics.
Yeah, I looked at it. I think I may have read like a preview of it and I was like, yeah, so I'm just not a Deadpool fan. Like,
Setting up Sad Clown Deadpool against what it's setting up. So
yeah, that makes sense. I mean,
which,
you know,
is the favorite era of Deadpool.
Absolutely. No, if I were a betting man, I'd bet on that over all or most other Deadpool pitches.
They tried to do like Deadpool's happy with a girlfriend and also has a dog. And now like this kicks off with my kid, I can't be with my kid. My girlfriend broke up with me. All I have is the dog. And then they pretty much killed the dog halfway through. But since it's a symbiote, it's like, I'm okay, Deadpool.
Yeah, that's fine. I liked the idea of like Deadpool and his dog like going on John Wick-esque missions. That sounds fun.
Right. Well, the dog's also Carnage. So keep that in mind.
Oh, God. That's right. Okay.
Did you not aware how that happened?
No, I have no recollection of how that happened.
So in the series where he got a girlfriend, it was actually an experiment to see if Deadpool, because of his regeneration, could regrow a symbiote.
Mm.
So they injected him. This is when, like...
Well, that was the previous series, right? Yeah. With Doc Ock and stuff? Yeah, yeah, I remember that.
And so Carnage was, like, spread out at this time. He wasn't Carnage. So they put some Carnage into him, and it regrew into a puppy that he calls Princess.
Awesome. All right. That's fine.
And I was sad at first, because they brought the puppy back immediately and then hit it with fire. Yeah. And I was like, oh no, you just killed Deadpool's dog.
Listen, that's a pitch. If you told me, and I was an editor, we're doing a new Deadpool book. Oh my God, another Deadpool book. What's your pitch? It's John Wick, but Deadpool.
Right.
I'd be like, yeah, okay. Green light, that's six issues at least.
The dog symbioted away, ate a bunch of people, and came back.
That's fine. All right. We got a Jean Grey book, like you said, Phoenix. It says, life, fire, power, possibility, one woman alone in the cosmos. So Jean Grey might be in this, like, might be a cosmic character. Maybe she's off the table or in her own book out in the space. Well, she's still...
Isn't she technically dead right now?
She's in the white hot room, I think. She'll be fine.
Oh, no, she'll be fine. I'm aware of that.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't make sense if she's dead and it's Phoenix that brings her back.
Well, sure, of course.
This time.
Yeah. And then we got
Who
NYX.
Who has died more in comic books?
Oh, between
Jean Grey.
Well, besides characters whose shtick is dying, because I know that somebody's going to say that, but like as far
Deadpool.
As like main characters,
shtick is dying every generation.
Exactly, like Immortal Man, you know. But I guess like in terms of characters,
I think three times Jean Grey's died.
Jean Grey has died at like, you know, she died in the Phoenix Saga. She died. I mean, and especially if you count like Madeline Pryor character, like, you know, versions of that or other Phoenixes. At least three times, if not four times. She died in the most recent time in The Fall of X. So, like, she's died here. And she died in Phoenix End Song.
I know of three.
Yeah, at least
You're
three.
The bigger X-Men fan, though.
Mm. And that's saying a lot, because I'm not, you know, people hate me and my X-Men lack of enthusiasm. NYX, five mutants alone in the big city. Welcome to the real world. Welcome to NYX. I don't know what the hell that means. And again, like all of the books so far, outside of like the three that have been announced, we don't know who's making these books. I don't know who's doing NYX. I don't know to be excited. Who is that? Like, what five mutants? Who's writing it?
So I'm excited for the relaunch because I stand by my statement. Like, if you've been following Comic Storian, we did a little bit of Fall of X and I stopped. And that's intentional. We've actually done some Fall of X for members and Patreons only because my plan is to finish main X-Men, Rise and Fall, Immortal. I think I finished Immortal, but main X-Men, Rise and Fall, and then whatever the new one coming out of it is, and then release that as just a full story.
Yeah.
Because maybe that will succeed instead of the individual portions. Because not only that, the individual portions are so difficult for me to do.
Right.
Because my recap has to be half the episode, Sal. It's like, what is this?
We did a Mutant Massacre on back issues, and that took 40 minutes to explain the context to get to Mutant Massacre.
That's what I'm saying. So that's why, for those who are wondering, oh, why did Benny stop covering X-Men on the channel? Same reason with Wolverine. I'm waiting to do a bunch of Wolverine back-to-back. Like, if you have our YouTube memberships or Patreon, you could already see what we've done. This is not even... I wish it was. It's not even a pitch to go join our Patreon.
But you could.
I've just been throwing stuff up on there for them to enjoy while I figure out how the f*** are we turning this into a big video.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
So, it's... I stand by my statement, and I argued this with Rob. He's like, no, Fall of X is easy to follow. I'm like, you shouldn't have to read at a minimum four different series to know what's going on. The latest X-Men issue is literally what it feels like a recap of fights.
Mm.
Do you remember that? It was like 33. It just went from one encounter to the next encounter to the next encounter to the next encounter with no context between them. Because if you're reading Rise and Fall of X, you know what in general is going on.
Right.
But this is the actual battle of the X-Men and Orcus. Well, Rise and Fall is the time-traveling shenanigans of what the f*** is Professor X trying to do. He's trying to kill a child. We're doing literally the Hitler equation that has been in discussion for 30 fucking years.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's great, and they're doing a fantastic job. It's a shame they're going
to
end it.
I do think it's a great job. I stand by my statement. There needs to be a clean way to read this.
And there will be when it's collected.
When it's collected, yes, there will be.
I mean, right now, I mean, only just you have to do a little bit of work to understand.
This is the most work I've ever had to do to follow a freaking story. I'm going to stop swearing as much because poor Platt.
I don't think that. I think there have been harder to understand or follow events.
Okay, let's play that game. What is a harder to follow event? Let me see if we can figure this one out.
Well, this is an event. Don't forget, like, this is not an event. This is an initiative. This is a period of time in X-Men. So it's like, you're not being asked to follow.
The only thing I can think of that may be more confusing as this is if you were trying to read Clone Saga as it came out.
No, but only because, like, Clone Saga was across all four or five Spider-Man titles. Like, it was just read all the Spider-Man books, and they're not talking to each other, so it's going to be a mess. Like, there is coordination and effort being made in the office right now for Fall of X. Like, everybody knows.
And that's why I said, the only one I can think of off the top of my head.
Except for Dead X-Men. There's no explanation or apology for what's going on in Dead X-Men. They just did what they wanted. That's the exception for me. But, like, outside of that, I mean, it gets.
But I think that's what makes it bad for me.
Yeah.
Because you shouldn't have any book out of this list of what order you need to read it. Okay.
Okay.
And you know what I think would even make it easier? Do your branding, do X-Men, do Rise and Fall, do all of that. Just at the very top in very small print.
Right.
19 out of 35.
Yeah. Yeah.
Give me
but doesn't that scare people away?
That's what they're worried. They're too worried about that. They're too worried about an event that is larger than six issues. Honestly, I looked into Sabretooth War because we were trying to see how much is left.
Oh, it's too long.
I am surprised they're letting that go 10 issues.
It's
self-contained in Wolverine.
It's only in one book, and I think it's also it's Ben Percy's wrap-up. Like, Ben Percy's leaving Wolverine. God knows what he's going to do next, but it ain't going to be Wolverine, so, like, he's done. So, for them,
that's
it's
the
like,
only reason why I feel like that one's getting a pass.
And the book sells. Like, the Ben Percy gets to do what he wants because the book is still selling well, and he's ending his run. So it's like, it's that combination. Cause it's like, you see other writers don't really get there to wrap up their story. I cite like Dennis Hopeless and other writers like that, where it's like, I want to do this thing. I got canceled because the book wasn't selling well. And it's like, you don't just give anyone their entire run. You have to also have the conjunction of it sells as well. Like, people want it. But
that was the argument with Tom King, not to bring up like beat a dead horse at this point.
No. But it didn't sell as well. And it's weird because, like, you hear people, I think more people today are complaining about the Zdarsky run than they are about the Tom King run. But the difference is in the sales. Batman is still selling.
Well, let's move our topic over to Batman then. Okay?
Yeah, Batman.
Because I do think the Zdarsky has a weird situation right now where you can't jump into Batman.
You know,
Tom King had a weird Batman, but there were self-contained arcs that you could jump into.
Yes. Oh yeah. But, and there was an overarching thing, but that united them. But Tom King also knows how to tell a compartmentalized story, and he's suited to telling beginning, middle, and end volume.
Well, I think Chip Zdarsky is as well, but the idea that he's running with, just like when he did Daredevil, can't be compartmentalized. It can't. Because Daredevil feels bad because he killed the guy. So that has to keep going.
Yes.
Batman's thing is there's an ultimate Batman that Batman created.
Yeah. Right. Well, I think for Zdarsky, because he also in the most recent issue, he linked it with like the beginning of the entire run, right?
Yeah.
Where he's like, Joker is. So the whole thing is about Joker.
Yeah. He looked at it. So the latest issue revealed that it was the Joker manipulated everything when he first found out what's going on, and that the issue actually came out of the death of Alfred.
Yeah.
Because Alfred was the failsafe for failsafe.
Right.
Which I thought was a great way to use the death of Alfred. Because it got me thinking.
Yeah.
They have not used the death of Alfred for anything beyond Damian feeling guilty and Nightwing getting money.
Well, I mean, what was it? We saw that reference by the Joker. And I want to say it was Tynan who wrote it in a story where he was like, yeah, that's right. Because he's yelling at Bane at the end of Tynan's Batman run. That segued into the Joker series where he's like, you had Batman's father figure in your hands and you used it to scar Robin.
Yeah.
Like, what a waste. You're not even good at revenge, you idiot. And I'm like, that's so funny. And it actually links in with this where it's like, no, I used Alfred and I fixed it. Like, I made Batman's life miserable because of this. The thing I'm liking it to, Batman lends himself very well to individual stories, one-offs, no superhero outside of Superman, and even then I'd say only relegated to his origin, lends himself better to individual one-off done-in-one story arcs. Batman has he gets the friggin' brass ring when it comes to how many original graphic novels or potentially original graphic novels you can develop just using Batman that have existed in the last 70 years. What Zdarsky has done with Batman, and it's not a critique, he has marveled Batman. Zdarsky has made Batman a manga Batman character. Manga. Look,
this is the most direct way to read Batman I have felt since New 52.
But even then, this was
literally
issue.
People go, "What should I do to read Batman?" And I go, 125, yeah. Read.
Yeah. But in this most recent issue, Zdarsky has invented a new character from a side book that he wrote called The Knight that needs to be canon. And so that character, now we're retconning that he also trained Batman and the Joker.
Right.
And the Joker has had an ultimate plan since his inception, since he met like the Zur-En-Arr Batman in a period that didn't exist, that Zdarsky retconned. And so all the things the Joker has done in seminal periods of his life, like killing Jason Todd and paralyzing Barbara Gordon, those all were in effort to get the Zur-En-Arr personality to come out. Like, all of it is retconning to in a way that DC is simply not used to.
Right.
Like, DC and Batman specifically are not used to it. And by the way, Grant Morrison did it just as much as Zdarsky did, but people are super quick to complain about Zdarsky's retconning. I just feel like Zdarsky's effort of doing it is much more Marvel, in that it's more like, oh no, it's fun to jump through the hoops. Grant Morrison's like, it doesn't matter what happened. This is what happened. This is real. Like, you know, I know Batman's 108 years old. Like, you know, that is, as far as Grant Morrison's concerned, it's all part of a rich tapestry. Zdarsky's like, well, let's make it make sense because we only have one continuity to work with. It's why he's dealing with all these different New 52 stories as well. Like, why is Zdarsky focusing so much on these random New 52 stories that no one has referenced since they happened except for Scott Snyder? And it's because Zdarsky's like, because I'm linking the New 52 with Alan Moore, with Grant Morrison, with everybody. Like,
Rebirth by the death of Batman. Like, Rebirth, everything's being linked together.
He's bringing it all under one contiguous mainline Marvel-esque continuity. It's like Spider-Man. For me, it's easy to follow and it's just kind of funny. But for a lot of people, I can imagine they're getting frustrated because Spider-Man is not Batman, at least in as much as Spider-Man is one long continuity. Batman.
Well, in theory, right now they don't seem to be talking to each other, but
that be that as it may. But like, when it comes to Spider-Man, like, as far as everything that has happened to Peter Parker in the 616 universe from 1962 to now has happened.
Oh,
in
yeah.
One
and
long
they reference
line.
It occasionally. Yeah.
And they reference it. And they have to go like, oh, that character that was invented for like some one-off in 1978. Like, yeah, he's back and he's a villain now. And he also manipulated this, that, and the other thing. It's like all of that needs, and it needs to be done in order to make it one timeline for 80 years.
Nick Spencer did a lot where they'd be like, remember this guy from 40 years ago? And I'm like, no, I wasn't reading comics 40 years
right.
ago.
No, I don't. Well, I do. And here he is. And now I'm telling a story with Batman. For the most part, you don't need to worry about a lot of that. And you can kind of pick and choose what you want to reference because of all the reboots and because it's Batman. Like, you could literally release a book. And in fact, they are, where it's like, oh, Batman set in 1939. Here you go. Batman set in the year 1860. Here's Batman. Like, he looks look at Godzilla, Kong, and everybody else, like, versus the Justice League. That is another continuity,
yeah.
But also references like Red Hood and things that happen in continuity. So it's like, it doesn't matter. If you're telling a Batman story, just do it. Just have fun. But Zdarsky is like, no, if I'm writing Batman, like the main Batman book, it's all connected.
Well,
you kind
of did that with Daredevil, where you kind of referenced a lot of past Daredevil.
But Daredevil's a Marvel character. That makes sense.
But it worked expected. Really well with Daredevil. And I think I had this argument about where Batman is now, because Batman is now turned into a situation where you cannot jump in. That's if right. You jump in right now, he's a giant robot. The Bat family doesn't know if they can trust him. Also, he's bandaged in a basement.
Right. Also, he's got a robot hand.
Yeah.
What?
So, exactly. So I think it works less with Batman because of the massive history of Batman. That's well, right. Daredevil. Okay. We know who Daredevil is. And he's going to reference some stuff like, you know, Typhoon Mary. And he's going to Typhoon Mary. He's going to reference Elektra. And he's going to reference the hand.
Yes.
But Daredevil's history is not so big.
Well, that's the thing.
That
right?
You're lost. You're like, oh, I get these core elements. And I'm good.
The biggest problem is, like, it's the same reason why it's easier to collect seminal classic Marvel stories. When I say collect, I mean, like, as a collector. Like, I want to get the first appearance of Flash Thompson. Well, you only have to go back to 1962. If I want the first appearance of Catwoman, I got to go back to 1940.
Yeah.
Right? So, and so Batman has a good, what, 21-year lead on Spider-Man, on the Marvel Universe? So you got 21 extra years of continuity and references that you need to square circles of. And also, what, 4 reboots? So, like, how are you going to make that work? It just doesn't lend itself. Daredevil, you can retcon him to Timbuktu because he only has, and when I say only, I'm kind of facetiously saying, only has, like, what, like 70 years of stories, whereas Batman has 100 years of stories I got to reconcile. And I got to pick which continuity I'm even in the first place. And with Grant Morrison's entire run, most of that stuff has been, or Tom King's for that matter, most of it has also been folded back into continuity. So, like, you know, did Batman and Catwoman meet on a boat or in an alley? And that's a joke in the Tom King run. Like, it's, and that's, you know, so it's a fascinating anthropological study that I'm, like, genuinely, like, it's funny to see basically Zdarsky apply, like, Marvel tactics to a character that is intrinsically not that. And so that's kind of fun. But it's also it's maddening to explain or talk about unless you're talking to people who know what's going on and know the history. So, you know, I'm amazed that it's selling as well as it is, but I'm glad.
Yeah, I just think it's becoming impenetrable. And since we already know Zarnar Robot is going to be in the big event.
Yeah.
It's not resolving.
It's not ending.
Mm-mm. No.
Mm-mm.
It looks not like here. What I think is going to happen in my prediction, Zarnar is going to get booted out of Gotham. Right. Batman's going to start to reestablish himself, but Zordar's just going to move. He's going to get Batman who left.
Yeah.
Where he just gets moved to the big bad.
Yes.
And now we're dealing with him over there.
Right. He gets defeated in this run. Like, he'll be defeated in this next arc, and then he will slink away, or he'll download himself into a backup like an Ultron character. Yeah. And then he will team up with Amanda Waller. She's like, you were thinking too small, son. You got to go bigger. And he's like, okay. And then, you know, he's going to betray them because he's Batman. And it'll be like a whole thing. But it'll be like Batman Who Laughs, because Batman Who Laughs can't team up with anybody, and he can't, and he's too big for any one story or any one team. So yeah,
I'm not going to lie. Just talk about Batman Who Laughs. I wouldn't mind him returning at this point.
I would love it if he fought Zurinar. That'd be kind of awesome.
Oh, I didn't even. He's the one that shows up to defeat Zurinar.
Oh my god! Batman's like, Kip, we can't beat him.
Kip, watch our show. We have the ending.
He's like, or he's like, oh, you know where it's going? Because, like, I can see Batman being like, we can't beat him. I know one person who could.
Dude,
now he exploded or something.
What if that is the event?
Batman Who Laughs versus what a frustrating thing, because it's like that was just the last two metal events was Batman Who Laughs versus everybody.
No, not versus everybody. They find a way to make him want to fight Zurinar,
right?
Like, and that is the arc.
I would love that. I mean, like, honestly, as much as it's like kind of derivative, I'm in. Like, I'm in.
I like the chat. Chat's like, damn it, Chip. Damn it, they figured it out.
Damn it.
He's doing all these callbacks. That would line up with him doing this callback to the Batman.
I love it. I'm in. I'm in. I mean, you know, honestly.
Because Zurinar is beating Batman because he knows what Batman's going to do.
It's the only thing he hasn't referenced.
Oh, the Batman Who Laughs.
It's the only New 52 invention that he's never invented, or New 52, but, like, you know, Snyder invention that he hasn't referenced. Holy crap.
We called it. Okay. So I'm saying it now, chat, and everybody watching this video on YouTube. If that's how it ends, come back to this video.
It's us. Now, we didn't do that. Chip did that, probably.
He's probably if he does it, he's had it planned for months, years.
There's no way. I mean, honestly, it could be, because the thing is, Batman Who Laughs prints money. Now, not necessarily the audience's money. Like, the audience might be like, no, I hate Batman Who Laughs. I never buy anything that he shows up in. You're an outlier. Batman Who Laughs makes money.
Easily. He's in Fortnite. He's in other properties. Batman Who Laughs prints money.
Just
now, comic readers got a little sick of seeing him.
Yeah, but they also still buy it. Batman Who Laughs increases sales. It's just a proven fact. That said, it could be why Zdarsky has been allowed to screw around this much with Batman, because they know. Last arc is Batman Who Laughs. So we know the money's going to come back if it goes.
The money's not going away, though, right?
Right, exactly. Like, even if it didn't sell well, like I'm saying, like, I think it is selling well. But even if it wasn't, they could be like in it for the long haul, going like, it's selling well enough. And by the time Batman Left shows up, it'll go up even more.
Oh yeah, Because, I mean, Chip Zdarsky is making an evil robot Batman. Zoronar has baffled me since the beginning because he's evil. Yes, he's working against Bruce. Now he's in charge, and he's just making Gotham safer.
Right, he's just doing Batman's job, which, by the way, was a lot of fun. I loved seeing Batman, like, crash through Harley's window and go, like,
oh, yeah.
You're a criminal. Why would I ever let you, like...
I felt bad for Harley, though.
I feel bad. You're supposed to feel bad, but, like, yeah. It's also, like, it feels like they are setting up... You could very easily go in one of two directions with this, where it's like, you could make it so that, Batman, at the end of all this, is, like, closer with the family than ever because they've conquered an unbeatable foe, and it's Batman. It's all my insecurities made into a robot. Or everyone hates Batman, and Batman's alone. And it's just Batman and Gordon. You know, Tanaka dies, and Gordon's made the commissioner again. And it's just Batman and Gordon in Gotham, and the Bat family are in their own books, but they have nothing to do with Batman anymore. And, like, Harley hates Batman,
so teams
up with the Joker. Yeah,
I think it's going to bring them all together. I think the problem I'm having with the Zoronar arc right now is Zoronar's not really doing anything bad.
No.
Well, like even when they brought it up, like, well, he's putting people in prison, but they got court dates. Like, he's not doing anything bad.
It's
he's
true.
Doing what Batman would do if Batman was not beholden to the Bat family and his own emotions. That's what he's doing. It kind of goes back to the Gotham War argument of, like, Catwoman's plan kind of works. Why are you fighting this?
Yeah. It's amazing.
So I feel like Chip likes to do that, where he's like, look, Batman, everyone else does it better.
I'm digging it. It's this issue in particular, when it all crystallized, I was like, I'm down.
I did like how it all came together. So I want to bring up, this is the research I did. You said, Ivy, can you link me that article?
Oh, yeah. Let me pull it up.
So I just did a bunch of research on the 2023 numbers, because what people don't know is I did that video in 2023 about the 2022 numbers, and I basically broke it down and proved by sales that, one, all of your favorite idiots are idiots because they don't actually look at the data, and two, comics are not dying. They're selling fine.
Yeah, no, of course.
This was in 2023, proved off 2022 numbers, but I did an entire video about it off of a small sampling. But that has not changed the fact that I have still received emails on a nearly monthly basis, people going, but what about my local comic book store shutting down? But what about this one weird outlier?
Yeah.
And people don't seem to understand that outliers does not encompass the entirety of the major data.
Hard to believe.
There was one point that was finally brought up in an article that I actually agreed with.
Mm.
And so I did this video based on this information.
That's fair. Go ahead.
So I actually made the video, and it was going to come out this Friday, last Friday. What did we do last Friday, Dan? We did a video. I don't know what it was about. I yelled about something. Female Silver Surfer. Okay.
Yes.
The video was coming out last Friday. We bumped it to this week because since this is the topic, I can put it out whenever.
Yeah.
Top 50 books of March. So what I said was,
I just clicked that. I just pasted it. And you were like, 50. I'm like, you're reading it as I'm pasting it in the
ADD, Betty. ADD.
Amazing.
I also, because I got a request, how do you handle your ADD? I did a video on that.
Amazing.
How my brain functions like that.
Right.
So anyway, I got a Discord request. Could you do an interview? Why is manga killing comics? And I'm like, oh my God.
Oh my God, again.
Okay. So I did research, Sal. I did not go to the level of the original video because the original video did not perform and people don't want to listen to numbers. So, okay.
Ugh. Kills me.
But I found an article, and the article discussed only hardcover sales versus volumes.
Right.
Okay. Not random number, not local. In your bookstore,
yes.
Here are the numbers. And I'm like, that is what you need to look at.
Yeah.
Because that raises a very interesting question. And that's what I want to ask you about.
Damn.
What it showed was Demon Slayer Volume 1 was the number one selling manga of 2023.
Okay.
Demon Slayer Volume 1 sold 143,000 copies.
Cool.
That's cool, right? But we both know your average Batman issue will easily sell 100 to 200,000 issues.
That's right. I mean, honestly, like literally, we just looked at the data right now from this month. Thundercats number one sold 170,000 copies.
There you go. 170,000 copies. Now, when you
from Dynamite.
When you compare that to 143,000 Demon Slayer, to me, that says both industries are killing.
Right.
But here's the interesting factor. Here's the interesting number. Hardcover sales. Now, I have been a proponent of it's time to move on to a different type of sales. Individual issues are becoming a harder and harder problem to sell.
Yeah.
when it comes to manga, you have two ways to consume manga. You either give $2 a month to an app and you could read as much manga as you want, right, chapter wise, or you go buy a volume for $8.99.
Yes,
when it
exactly
comes to comics, you go buy individual comics for $3.99,
yep,
or you buy a volume for $20 to $40, depending on if it's prestige or deluxe.
Yes, that's correct.
The highest selling Marvel trade paperback of 2023 was, I forget what the title was, but
okay,
it was 9,000 units sold.
9,000, that's it?
In comparison to Demon Slayer's 143,000 in a bookstore.
Right. Oh, yes. So comics
DC didn't break 16,000. That was their number one. And their top four were old classics. Killing Joke, Watchmen, and something else that was
V for Vendetta or something. That's why they always sell. That's why they always sell them. Like,
so what? That's an interesting statistic.
Yes.
Why are comics bombing in the bookstore?
They legitimately are. And I actually not. That
I went into
data.
I went to a new bookstore yesterday or 2 days ago. We wanted to go check out. We were looking for something. I'm like, ah, let me go check out the manga section because sometimes they got fun stuff.
Which is like triple the size.
Not even triple, dude. The action section was squared off. It was three bookshelves. One of the bookshelves was the graphic novels. Every other one was manga wrapped around.
At my bookstore right now, they don't keep them in the same area. Manga has its own section, and graphic novels are in one section that also has Funko Pops in it.
Yeah.
Like, it's Western comics are a dud at my bookstore.
Every bookstore I've been into, they are a dud.
Well, and
they were high. They took a huge amount of the section up in like 2016, 2017. Because I still remember one particular time you and me were in LA for something, and we went to a particular bookstore, and they had like a whole row of graphic novels.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, and this is what it boils down to, we need to adapt. Like, Marvel and DC need to stop giving up in the bookstore before it even starts.
I know for a fact
you can pay for space in a bookstore. On top of the fact, they just need to promote these books are out there. They also make it difficult to buy the books.
I was like,
because if you go in there and you're like, I want to read current Batman. Well, there's like 8 Batman books, all with different titles, no numbering. You don't even know if there's an order or if they're individual or whatever.
I know. No, and the reason for that is twofold. There are two reasons why that, like, the bookstores are not a place to buy comic books. The first of which is the books are too, I think, expensive. The books are too expensive. If you want to buy a graphic novel, a trade paperback of any kind from Marvel or DC, the books are going to be 25 plus. They can't be less than $25. I don't know why
that is. I actually had one of the books in my inventory. $16.99. It was a DC Rebirth trade paperback floppy kind of like soft cover.
Oh, yeah. A classic trade paperback, right? But it only has what, like 4 to 6 issues in it. And it's $16. But I'm telling you, at my local store, every single book they have, they're all hardcover. And if they're because they pared down their trade paperback section. My bookstore locally liquidated all Marvel trade paperbacks.
The only thing they get are the high-end deluxe stuff, because that will still sell to a small audience.
Well, because
small selection.
Because it's about buying books. It's about shelf appeal. You're appealing to a very different clientele. I would also argue the second reason is because no other book available in a bookstore is competing for sales in a boutique market like a comic book store. If I want to buy a self-help book or a romance novel, I can't also competitively go to the romance store that sells romance books exclusively, right?
Yeah.
That's a big problem when it comes to, like, why would I bother providing shelf space for a thing that is exclusively sold and being given preferential treatment for at boutique markets, which are also known as comic book stores? It just doesn't make any sense, especially when my clientele who would buy a comic book or a graphic novel knows to go to a boutique comic book store rather than a Borders, a Barnes & Noble,
or I honestly feel like Marvel and DC need to start, one, working with local comic book stores better to get word out where they are. Mm-hmm. And two, use their position in a bookstore to actually promote the stories.
Yes.
Both.
I've seen at Barnes & Noble, I've seen in the graphic novel section, I've seen like staff picks the way that they do at the way they used to do at video stores and the way they do at bookstores in different sections. So I've seen that, but that's all on the that is entirely on the on the retailer's side. There is no help being given by the publishers. Now DC did roll out with a new initiative, and I got to pull that up because it is amazing, this brand new initiative, and it's similar to what Penguin did with Marvel. Because I don't know if you guys have seen this, folks, but like Marvel and Penguin, because Penguin was a new distributor for Marvel, started publishing these beautiful book looking when I say book looking, I mean it looks like books, and they got the Penguin Random House logo on the spine, but book looking collections of classic Marvel books by Steve Ditko and Stan Lee and Jack Kirby, etc. Like I'm seeing Black Panther, Spider-Man, Captain America, etc. Like I'm seeing like original classic stories, but they're deliberately made to look to have shelf appeal and to be sold at bookstores. I haven't seen a single one of those in a bookstore. I've only seen them at comic book stores, providing zero shelf appeal because they're competing in a completely different market. They're on the shelf on a rack in a comic book store next to the, and by the way, they're spine out as opposed to the other books, which were cover out. It just didn't make any sense to me.
I remember going to my comic book store and they had a very small section for graphic novels. And I asked why I don't see more of this, because this is what I prefer to read my comics in.
Yeah.
Because look, I get them individual, but it doesn't change the fact holding a book is a lot better than just holding the comic. You know,
absolutely.
I collect the comic. I read the books is what I do with
them. Yeah, I've got the information here. It's DC. Well,
his response was nobody buys the books.
Oh yeah, no, they don't buy them. And there's a reason for that. And I think it's because if you know about a comic book, if you know about a superhero or a graphic novel, then you're probably also familiar with the way in which comics are distributed, which is through the boutique comic book store market.
Right.
Look at the DC Finest line, a new line of comprehensive collections in the most in demand periods, genres, and characters from across DC history, scheduled to launch in November. These affordably priced, large size trade paperbacks are $34.99.
Oh, they look good too.
They do. Did you need a link or should I?
No, I found an article on it.
All right. It is take full advantage of the DC's extensive backlist and appeal to the casual and completist fan alike, focusing on characters and storytelling genres instead of creators or prior series. This will give casual fans the chance to discover the full continuities of their favorite characters. So for example, DC Finest, The Flash, The Human Thunderbolt. It's just 1956 to 1961, a bunch of classic Flash stories by anybody.
Right.
Batman Year 1 and 2. Batman 1986 to 1987. It's just Batman stories encompassing years 1 and 2 of his career in a collection.
Which is what they need to be doing. They need to start treating it in a very linear fashion.
Yes. These are character-focused collections. They're spotlighting multiple iterations of fan-favorite heroes throughout the decades. For example, a Robin collection may include volumes featuring Dick, Tim, or Damian, or Jason, depending on the chronology, while a Green Lantern collection may include stories that feature Hal, John, Kyle, Alan, or
right, even fan-favorite. Right, because telling the linear story as opposed to...
These are collections that are like, here are a smattering of classic stories that you might want to have. You know how like when anybody says, I want to get into The Flash, what books do I read? You don't go, oh, Flash 1 through 5. You go, oh, pick out this volume, this volume, and this volume.
Well, that's always been, I've argued that issue since getting into manga years and years and years ago. Yeah. Like,
but DC
it's
first.
It's too easy for me to read manga. It's too difficult for me to try to figure out where to start a superhero.
Right, but DC first is like, I'll just take those 3 volumes and put them in 1 volume, and here you go.
Yeah. It's interesting to see that in these volumes, Wonder Woman Origins and Omens is 2007 to 2009.
I mean, because, like, Wonder Woman is a tougher nut to crack.
The fact is, old Wonder Woman, they don't want to promote right now.
I don't blame them. You know, look, I'm sorry, but, like, Wonder Woman has a very small handful of enduring classic stories, and it's not her fault. She's a classic enduring character that deserves all the praise in the world, but there's a reason why Dead Earth is my favorite Wonder Woman story.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to any run outside of the current Tom King run, and that's mostly because I like Tom King.
Let's look at this list you gave me. Another interesting thing I'm seeing on this list is that the list is dominated by Marvel, IDW, and Image at the top, and Dynamite.
Yeah.
DC has Batman, and then they don't show up again until the 23rd slot with Justice League versus Godzilla.
Uh-huh.
And then 27 with another Batman.
Yep.
And then 28 with another Batman related title. And then number 30 with another Batman title. Well,
that's by the way, this is for the month of March.
Yeah.
So it's
Two is Wonder Woman, which is interesting because it's Tom King and people don't like Tom King right now.
Oh, they hate Tom King so much, but it's still the number 32 of the year or of the month, I should say.
Right. Well, that's like the fifth highest selling book in DC.
Yeah.
And then nothing else is on this list until 47, which is a Superman book, and number 49, which is Nightwing.
Nightwing. Yeah.
What I find weird about this is here's the funny part. Okay.
Okay.
My complaint about Marvel right now is it feels disjointed. It's all over the place. Nothing seems to lead to anything. Spider-Man's all over the place. X-Men is all over the place. And who the fuck even knows what's happening to the Avengers right now? But their biggest selling books actually aren't the books you would expect. One, it's the Ultimate line. That's easy.
Yep, that's easy.
And then it's Spectacular Spider-Men, which is a in-continuity but ignoring everything else going on book.
Uh-huh. Big time. Big time. Yeah. Oh, and why? Obviously, I think we all know why Ultimate is doing well. And it's because, oh, you mean to tell me that I have like a beginning?
Yeah.
I have like, except you don't, which is so frustrating because it's like, oh yeah, enjoy. By the way, it's not the United States. It's a slapdash world created by the maker who's from the previous Ultimate. No, not this Ultimate Universe. Another Ultimate Universe. He created a new Ultimate Universe after leaving the main Marvel Universe, which is called 616, by the way. Like, no, it's not that easy, but it is because if you read like Black Panther number one, it's like, fresh. We get it. Starting now.
But what I'm getting to is in continuity, like Marvel books that are acknowledging what's going on.
Yes.
It's not until this 15th slot, and that's Deadpool number one.
And even then, like, that's not.
And that's more referencing Deadpool than
anything Deadpool
else.
That's a Deadpool victory. That's not a Marvel victory.
Ghost Rider is referencing Ghost Rider. Mm-hmm. I'd say the first thing referencing current active continuity Marvel is Wolverine at 17. Mm-hmm. And then you have Amazing Spider-Man at 21, which is weird that there are so many Spider-Man books over Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah. Yeah. Now that's by units, by the way. That's by units sold, not by dollars made.
Right.
Because below that, you got the top 50. I mean, like when it comes to money being spent, the number one book is Last Ronin number two.
Where's that at?
That's right below it.
Oh, money being spent. Well, didn't they come out as it came out as Prestige. Yeah.
Oh, of course. They, you know, it costs a little more. The next one is Ultimate X-Men number one by Ultimate Spider-Man number two. Like, you know, it's Ninja Turtles, Ultimate X-Men, Ultimate Spider-Man, Spectacular Spider-Man, Web of Spider-Man, Batman, Amazing Spider-Man. Spider-Man dominates the top 10 in terms of dollar value.
Yeah. But I'm going off units sold because dollar value is one thing. I mean, that's
true.
Yeah,
no, units sold is like what that's how people are measuring success.
And after Amazing Spider-Man, in continuity, referencing what is going on Marvel books, Venom 31.
And even then, like...
It's funny that Venom number 31 is in the 31 slot.
That's just funny. How bizarre.
Because Symbiote Spider-Man 2099, that's not in continuity.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess Rise of Powers of X is technically referencing what's going on, so that's 26. But
yeah, no, I mean, any of the X-Men books that are Ultimate... is referencing itself. Like the X-Men line is almost its own universe at this point. Although it does encompass Iron Man and they've been referenced once in a while.
It's just interesting to see Marvel dominating so hardcore, but not what I'm getting at is not with in continuity following what's going on, but it's with things like Avengers Twilight, X-Men 97, the Ultimate Universe.
All outside
is what's dominating.
All outside continuity.
If anything, that should prove, just give us an easy continuity to follow because that's what we want to follow.
Well, yeah, that is definitely what the audience is outwardly selecting. So yeah,
it's like Immortal Thor. I mean, if you look at it, it's interesting.
Yeah,
and even going lower, there's not that many in continuity. Like Aliens is a Marvel book that's on here,
right?
Immortal Thor, I think, is referencing its own shit at this point.
Yep.
Miles is in full blown continuity, referencing a lot of things.
Yeah.
Edge of Spider-Verse out of continuity. What if Venom out of continuity?
Yep.
Resurrection of Magneto, that's in continuity. The bottom has the in continuity. There's a lot of Star Wars on here too.
Mm-hmm,
Marvel Star Wars was tanking. I am way off of that.
I didn't know anything about it. I'm not reading it, but
I've completely dropped off in its entirety. The only thing I ever liked about Star Wars Marvel,
and
you can get mad at me all you want, the Vader moment where he basically decimated the entire thing is one of the greatest moments ever. I see nothing but dead men, and he just crushes everyone. That was cool.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome.
And I really liked the Dr. Aphra character before she became popular, and they ruined her.
I mean, honestly, and, like, that has been how many years ago?
Yeah. Dr. Aphra was great with that initial run. which ended with Vader was supposed to kill her, and that would have been the conclusion to the Dr. Aphra run. And then she somehow survived because Vader had a heart.
Uh-huh.
And now she just won't go away. Or is she even around right now? Let me see.
I assume
there was
she
rumors
is.
She was even going to get put in live action for a while.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm sure she almost did. I'm sure it was like super close. Listen, but we were going to get Tag and Bink in the Han Solo movie. So, you know, I mean, all bets are off.
No, she is currently got an ongoing, apparently.
That's awesome.
Oh, final issue released in January. It just ended.
Oh, wow. All right.
I wonder if she's going to come back. Now I want to buy the complete set and read what happened.
Now's the time.
She was great. And then they ruined her with the middle series because then it was like that random, like, Vader can't know I'm alive. But we hinted that he might have known and set it up so that I would live. But he can't know I'm alive.
No.
It's like, right, because you weren't supposed to exist past this point.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you were supposed to die. You were definitely supposed to die.
Oh, 100%. She was supposed. Was it Karen Gillan was writing her first? I think.
Karen Gillan, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah, Karen Gillan. Like it was a beginning, middle, end story. It was great. It was so good.
I know. I loved it.
And she was 100% supposed to die at the end of that story.
Yeah, Marvel's like, whoa, 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 whoa.
You've invented the only new Marvel character since Disney took over that people like.
That's true.
Star Wars character. Disney created.
Right? I don't count Marvel and Disney. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think...
Marvel took back over when Disney took over.
Yeah, I know. But I'm saying, like Black Chrysanthemum, people like that. I mean, like, any of the characters from that. Like Dr. Aphra is fun. Evil R2 and 3PO droids. you know. I think people like Poe.
But here's the best part. Your face. You were like... I think people like Poe.
I think more people than Oscar Isaac like Poe Dameron.
I'm talking more the like outside. Like there's obviously people that are in fan of Rey. There's people that are fan of Poe. I can't remember the other
Finn.
Voice. Finn, that was his name.
Oh, obviously Babu Frick was a huge breakout character that I love so much.
So I mean, it's obviously people that like the movies. I mean, I disliked the sequel trilogy, but it had fans.
They're not
it
great.
Made a bunch of money. Yeah.
Yeah. No, they're amazing.
I'm talking more of the outlier, like their version of legends that have stuck around. Because they're doing now at this point is they're just using existing characters like Ahsoka and
Thrawn. You know,
and Thrawn and Ezra. So those aren't Disney.
Yeah.
They're all great, but they're not Disney.
Right. No.
Oh,
no,
Mandalorian. They made Mandalorian.
Mandalorian. There you go. Yeah. People love people.
So they
love
made Mandalorian
Min-Jarin.
And Dr. Aphra and Grogu. Those are the three that they have made.
That's why they're making a Mandalorian movie. Which I mean, yeah, do it. I'm in. I'll watch it.
A chat. We just said we're not counting movie people because the movie gets a whole different level. Yeah. Like,
exactly.
But like yeah, Kylo so, Ren. Like, yeah, they made Kylo Ren. Like, yeah. I mean, Kylo Ren's got a cool design.
Yeah, I don't care about Kylo. I could never care less about Kylo Ren.
Didn't they make Andor? I mean, technically.
Well, Andor. I mean, basically everybody from Rogue One isn't in Andor except for Andor. And that's it. So yeah, everybody created for Andor because Andor is something else.
So all right, I think that's going to bring an end to our discussions today. I don't know much else. What did you just think of me? What is this?
It's Hugh Jackman wearing the Wolverine costume with the mask on.
But it's like CG.
It's not
AI. I'm not saying AI.
It's box art. It's box art. It's like movie popcorn bucket art.
So he's definitely going to wear the mask for 10 seconds, right?
Oh, yeah.
We can agree
on
that? Okay.
At least. Maybe 20. When we first see him, you know.
Yeah, for 20 seconds. Then he takes it off.
20 seconds. Boom. But it looks good. I was always worried
when
it wouldn't
look
good.
When's that movie come out? That we're already getting movie theater shit.
I think like soon, right? Deadpool and Wolverine comes out August?
That's not that soon.
July 26th.
Okay, that would make sense why they're already getting the merch for it then.
That's why I'm like, I think this is legit. You know why I think it's also legit? Because he's got the sleeves. Because most people are like, well, one thing I would change is I would get rid of the sleeves. And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, but he also has an issue with skin cancer.
That's I know. I completely understand. And I'm fine with it. I'm just saying, like, if it was fan made, the fans would forget and leave the sleeves off.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Anyway, that's kind of cool. I know it's not
cool,
really.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of a dud, but all right.
You don't like it?
You don't want to talk? No. I mean, that just that as a discussion. Did you want to talk about Ben Reilly, or you want to wrap it up?
We can wrap it up there. We're over time now. Thank you guys for watching today's episode of Absolute Comics. We'll be back next week. And thank you guys for giving me that 2 weeks off and not giving me shit for it. Although, I won't lie, I didn't read any comments to see if you were complaining. I don't care. Anyway, thank you. Wait, would you say you care?
No, I said, who cares?
Yeah. I think if you were upset with it, sorry. I'm back now. Anyway.
Yeah, well, we're back.
See you guys next time right here at Absolute Comics. Thank you.